No family should have to choose between heating their home or putting food on the table. But that's what a lot of people, particularly seniors, do, have to do. And no seniors have to choose between shivering and purchasing medication that they desperately need. That's also what a lot of seniors have to do. So we need to make sure our most vulnerable here on Long Island have what they need to pay their heating bills. So we're urging HHS to allocate HEAP funding at the highest level soon enough. In previous years, they didn't allocate it quickly enough, even though the money was in the budget, and a lot of people didn't get it. That's why we need it allocated now, front and center.
Oh, for the love. So that's Chuck Schumer, Senator Chuck Schumer, who is saying that people should not have to choose between heating their homes or putting food on the table. There's going to be sharp increases in stuff, guys. If only we had another pipeline that could get oil and gas in Canada to refineries and storage centers in the United States faster. Dang, if only someone...
And with less pollution.
Yeah, and with less pollution. Welcome back to the show, guys. It's Thursday. DanaLash.com. Make sure you go sign up for my newsletter. And you can download the Odyssey app, which is actually very nice to have because you can listen to me anywhere. Take me with you wherever you go. That pipeline too, I was just looking at some of the headlines, like New York local media. High heating bills everywhere. We're going to be paying so much more. And for propane too. Here I was like already planning out burying a propane tank in my yard as a backup in case we ever have another big freeze again. Dude, you know what I did after that big freeze? I went out and bought all American-made additional prepper stuff. I have legit straight-up oil lamps, like old-timey pilgrim days oil lamps. And made in the USA. They were, yes, cheaper than the ones made in China. Or more expensive, rather, than the ones made in China. I did find some made in Taiwan, though. And I was like, I love these Taiwanese-made oil lamps. It's like a giant, buying a giant finger to China. That's what it is. But I'm ready. I am totally ready. So if it goes out again, and I have tons and tons and tons and tons of oil, it's insane. Basically, I'm on a powder keg. My house is a powder keg, essentially. But I wanted to bury propane, so I would have like total backup system, all that. And I'm not against, you know, solar powered. I have one of my backups is a solar power generator. But you know, when it's like icing in that, guess what? You don't have sun. For the solar power. So that's kind of a problem. But now propane is going to be super expensive too. If only there had been a pipeline, Kane. Now imagine it. A pipeline from Canada going down to like the refineries in Houston for storage for oil and gas. Can you imagine? It's amazing that we didn't do that. Huh? Oh, yeah. Wait.
Like an XL pipeline.
Yeah, like the Keystone XL pipeline. But see, we couldn't have the Keystone XL pipeline. Russia could have Nord Stream XL. Because see, it makes more sense for the environment to take the oil and gas and not take it by a pipeline, which doesn't use more fossil fuels and risk causing more damage or pollution. No, that was bad. Instead, the smart thing is to take that oil and gas from where it's originating in parts of Canada and then put it on trains, which are fueled with additional fossil fuels, and then take that all the way down. So like double the fossil fuels to get the fossil fuels from A to B. That's smart. Can I share with you this headline that I am trying to wrap my head around? Really, really. So I was actually looking for a GIF on break to best describe my feelings for this. The Courier Mail says, this is Australia. If you are fully vaccinated against COVID, the next step to improve your immunity may be to actually catch the virus. Are you okay? Did you sneeze for a moment? You totally jerked in your chair so hard.
A little politically driven epilepsy. Oh, man.
So that's Australia. That's what they're, that's the courier and mail. By the way, have you, do you know that suntanning is not, hold up, in Australia is considered an offense, audio soundbite three. So this actually, this is an exchange that legit happened on a beach. Listen.
So I'm Constable Weston from Maroubra Police Station. As I said before to you, sunbathing is not an essential reason to be outside. I'm requesting your identity because I suspect you're committing an offence. You must provide that identity to me, okay?
Okay.
And we'll investigate further.
For me, sunbathing is not essential.
Sir?
Yeah, Constable Weston from Maroubra Police. Just letting you know, I believe all videos also recording. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. And your stance as well is the exact same as this gentleman?
Yeah, I agree. You may be potentially breaching the public health order at this point in time.
Okay, do we believe that the public health order is superseding common law? Is it
okay, we're not arguing points of law with you. We're acting on the public health order. You need to be outside for an essential reason. You are in a hot spot zone for the COVID virus. Unfortunately, we must enforce that, like, you've got to be outside for an essential reason. Laying on the beach, just having a sunbathe, like, it's not an essential reason to be outside.
I know.
Now, we're going to look further into whether you are committing an offence.
Wait, what? That's, I would be in jail in Australia. My American and anti-authoritarian DNA, and like I said, doesn't matter if you're born here or you become a citizen. Your DNA magically changes once you're when you come to America, or you're born and you grow up, you're paying your taxes, you come to America. Your DNA changes, and you're all of a sudden, you like being left alone. It's amazing. None of us would do well down there with that. Can you imagine? Oh, really? I can't be out here sunbathing, eh? It would not work out well. I can't do an Australian accent. That sounded like a Cockney. I can't. So it's, sunbathing is not considered, he said, an essential reason to be outside. And I don't know if you guys saw this video. I'll include this in my prep email for this evening, this newsletter. Because the camera looked kind of around when they were having this exchange. There was nobody around this guy. I mean, nobody around this dude. Nobody. They went, they saw one dude on the beach, and they're like, oh no, we got to get him. And they ran out there and then with this, and we're going to check and see. Like, they didn't even know. They just started harassing him, and they didn't even know if it was actually actionable. We're going to see what else can be done here. We would not go, man. I would throw sand at him and then run. That's me. Totally. Or be like that one dude, remember, in the early days of the lockdown here in the U.S., and there was a guy on a jet ski, and they literally got the National Guard boat out to chase this dude on a jet ski out in L.A. Remember that? Oh, yeah. He was out in the ocean by himself on a jet ski. And it was like watching a really bad version of Miami Vice out in L.A., where they had the National Guard boat chase this dude down and try to corner him. Dumbest thing I ever saw. Dumbest thing I've ever seen. Outside, it's like peak stupidity. Golly, this doesn't make any sense at all. So if that's what, can they now, how are they saying that in Australia? Can't they, if somebody wrote that in Australia, if you can have the, they're not bobbies, what do they call them in Australia? Just police, maybe? Okay. If they could come up and aggravate a dude lonesome on a beach, and he was wearing, he had his mask and everything, which is so stupid, outside by himself on the beach, he might get a seagull sick. But if this piece, this headline at Courier Mail, if you're fully vaccinated against the COVID, the next step to improve your immunity, maybe to actually catch the virus. Can't they, like, get on these people for writing this headline?
What I also don't get is, you know, the sun creates vitamin D in your body when you're exposed to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And the CDC says vitamin D is beneficial. They're not saying that it's a cure for anything or anything like that, but vitamin D is beneficial. So why would they say sunbathing is not essential? I would say it would be essential.
I don't even know, man. I just don't know. I don't know. This is so dumb. What? I feel, you know that meme of the old lady going, what? I just, that's where I am right now. Oh my gosh. Can I, okay, I'm going to switch up to media stuff. Can I share with you this crazy headline? You're going to laugh your head off at this. Ready? So remember, they're trying so hard. They're trying to look. They at this point, media knows that they have to criticize Biden because the stuff that he's involved in is just too bad. And so the headlines are real, getting real rough. So here's a headline from Business Insider. Are you ready? Okay. Here it goes. Hunter Biden isn't Trump, but what he's up to is bad and deserves your attention, even if you hate Fox News. Oh my God. Oh my gosh. The only thing missing from this is something about being unvaccinated. Right. And then it would be like the trifecta. That's the headline. Hunter Biden isn't Trump, but what he's up to is bad and deserves your attention, even if you hate Fox News. What the hell does any of this stuff have to do with Hunter Biden? What does any of this have to do? And it gets into like his money and the shared bank account and all this stuff. And that he's actually is being investigated for these business deals. It's ongoing. That's not fake news. That headline hurt somebody. Damn it. We got to write something about Hunter Biden. Throw something about Trump in there. Well, he's not Trump, but he's bad. Because it's amazing that someone can be bad and not be Trump. What? That's what they're doing. So you mean people who are bad cannot be Trump? That's crazy. What? Oh my gosh. There's a reason why I'm so glad and I am so grateful that I can stay in Dallas and work in Dallas, because I would be on the program cops every damn day as like a repeat offender with this stuff. There's no way. Oh my gosh, you guys. Okay. I'm going to apologize, because if you see this repeatedly in your email prep that I send tonight, it is not my fault. It is so ridiculous of a headline. I had it in there 6 times because I was already getting the draft email prep newsletter for you ready already. And I could not stop making fun of it. And I had like a whole paragraph, and then I came back to it later. So I'm just, bear with me. It's hysterical. With temperatures cooling off, don't let that stop you from getting outside and into the great outdoors. Take Black Rifle Coffee Company with you anywhere with their ready-to-drink cans and on-the-go packs. Black Rifle Coffee Company is veteran-owned and serves premium coffee to people who love America. They develop explosive roast profiles and experiment with new roasting methods with mission focus to bring you the best coffee possible. And with every purchase you make, Black Rifle Coffee gives back with over 6 million cups of coffee donated to veteran, law enforcement, and first responder causes in 2020 alone. The best way to enjoy freedom-filled coffee is with Black Rifle Coffee Club. Join the club and have your chosen brew roasted, packaged, and shipped free to your door on your schedule. Get discounted pricing on roasts and access to exclusive products, members-only content, and partner discounts. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV to find what inspires you. Use code DanaTV for 20% off your first coffee club purchase, coffee, and select gear. That's 20% off with promo code DanaTV at blackriflecoffee.com/DanaTV. Fuel your life with America's coffee. Black Rifle Coffee.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So, lateral flow tests detect people at greater risk of spreading coronavirus and are more accurate than previously thought, according to one study. Yeah, lateral flow. Research found that lateral flow tests detect around 80% of the positive cases. Swabs are about 90% effective at detecting it when people are at their most infectious. This is something from British and US researchers. They found rapid tests are actually 90% effective at detecting this, what they basically are. Interesting. I wondered about that, because weren't you kind of told that, oh no, those aren't really. It's interesting because you can take like a rapid test at like home, because you can buy those kits now, but that doesn't count if you're gonna.
That's assuming that one study is absolutely, you know, true. Definitive and true.
Yeah, it's assuming that anything are actually true. Anything. Women are more creative during the fertile stage of their monthly cycles, according to a study. Researchers found 751 female volunteers aged 13 to 35 about their cycle. They said women would complete a creative task, and it was rated by independent raters. And they said that women were most creative immediately after ovulation. I would imagine they're bitchier too. Just, I can say that because I'm a woman. I can say it. You know it's true. I'm not even apologizing for that. It's true. It's science. Follow it. New Zealand slaps vaccine mandates on all education and healthcare workers. I'm sure this is going to go over real well. They said that this is after a week after Canada adopted mandatory vaccination rules for federal workers and travelers. Now New Zealand has announced their own mandates for most teachers and healthcare workers.
The FBI is carrying out another political hit job. Can we trust it to do honest investigations anymore? I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, I'll discuss how the raid of Project Veritas and James O'Keefe ought to be chilling to every American. I'll also be joined by Iraq war veteran Daniel Gade, who will explain why he believes the VA's disability policy is leaving far too many vets sicker and poorer. Join me. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
I mean, you know, given that I wasn't familiar with the song in the past, so it's not something that I have any great sentimental...
If you'd phoned up Kat, she could have listened to it for you and then told you what it was about.
But given that it's meant to be about anti-slavery, it does seem like a slightly odd decision. But do you know what? I mean, look, the people in the Rolling Stones are famously hippies. They're obviously social liberals. They're incredibly forward when they formed in the 60s. So I think they're highly conscious of these issues. I think the question is less about songs like Brown Sugar, but you have other ones like Blurred Lines, the one that was supposedly about sort of, you know, sexual consent. And I think there is a question to be asked about whether some of these songs that become incredibly popular actually have a real effect and a damaging effect on people's social attitudes and how they think about others. And I think
So this what was this guy's name?
Benjamin Butterworth.
And he was, of course, speaking to the Rolling Stones about how Brown Sugar, their song, needs to be cancelled. Welcome to the show. Welcome back. DanaLash.com. So where to start? I know. I said this was going to happen. I'm actually, can I be real? I'm surprised this didn't happen sooner. Really shocked this didn't happen sooner. I was just waiting for it. And then it finally did. So the Rolling Stones have dropped their hit song Brown Sugar from the tour set list. Now, if you listen to Keith Richards, Keith Richards does not sound like he gives one rat's backside about everybody's concern for political correctness. He does not. Whereas Jagger was like, oh man, I don't know what I was on. It has all the nasty bits in it. That's what he says of his song. That's what he said of it. They wrote this song. What is it, 69? I've seen it, everything from 69 to 71. I think there's a difference when they wrote it and then when they actually recorded it. I think they were at Muscle Shoals down in Alabama when they recorded this. Is this the one they did at Muscle Shoals? I think it was. I think this was from that album. So this, I can't believe it's been 50 years. It is like the second most played song. This is the song that I, when I hear it, I just hear that first chord and I'm like, Rolling Stones. That's it. I just hear it. I have a particular skill set, and that skill set is I can pretty much identify the song in the first bar. Really? Yeah, it's weird, dude.
Like, name that tune?
Yep.
You could do that?
Yep. It's really weird. So, and I can, and someone who's totally off key can sing part of it and I can know it, even if they're totally off key. So the song Brown Sugar, the lyrics were considered controversial. Now, isn't brown sugar also slang for heroin? That's what I thought, wasn't it?
I thought that was like brownstone.
No. Well, I think it's all those things.
Is it browns, whatever?
Us, the drug experts. We're so wholesome. Like, Kane knows all the books of the Bible. We're so wholesome. No, but I think it's slang for heroin. So things always kind of have like a double entendre, sort of like how the Beatles pretty much always wrote about drugs, right? I mean, it's kind of, well, I mean, especially with you know, some of their later albums. So the 1969 song that they wrote, it was, they said, I'm just gonna be real. They said that it was a song that's condemning slavery. It definitely does not portray it in any kind of a good light. I'll tell you that. And I always thought it wasn't him just being a pervert. I always thought it was him being on drugs. That's what I thought. Right? I mean, if you think about brown sugar as slang for heroin, then that
Keith Richards did them all.
Yeah, Keith Richards. There's no more heroin. Keith Richards did it all. He did it all so much that it actually is keeping him alive now. He has to. He has to do it. But there is something to this, though. This with people are saying, oh, there's, you know, you have to, it has to, they have to be canceled. The song has to be removed. It's super racist. It's super. And so they were saying, well, we don't. Keith Richards was saying, he said that he was talking to the sisters about it. I don't know what that meant. I'm reading like an actual quote from him. And he was trying to fit. He was talking about how this song was a condemnation of it and portraying the horrors of it. Over a really groovy, like, you know, rock and roll riff. I'm just saying. So it's one of the most popular songs. But if it depicts the horrors of slavery, then why? So they were asked, LA Times had asked them, what, you haven't played this in forever. It was a hit in 71. They wrote it in 69. And Keith Richards was like, oh, you picked up on that, huh? And he goes, this is his quote from LA Times. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out with the sisters quite where the beef is. Didn't they understand this was a song about the horrors of slavery, but they're trying to bury it? So I don't know what that means. It's Keith Richards. He's like from another dimension. I don't know what that means. So obviously there's a lot of non-consensual stuff, etc. But at the same time, this was written in an era where nobody GAF and everyone just wanted to write. One of the things that the Rolling Stones did, and I will say this, and we don't have that today. I love music. I don't care what era it is, so long as it doesn't suck. And I like a lot more music that's written by the actual artist that's performing it, because there's just something authentic and something raw about it. And with the Stones, one of the things that they did is they were always able to kind of capture the ethos of that period, right? Like they were really able to do that. Like, so this song, if I remember, was this on, let me double check here. So this album that Brown Sugar was on, because if this was their 71 hit, I think this is Let It Bleed. I think this is on the Let It Bleed album. I'm going to double check. That album was amazing. You know, pretty unbelievable. No, this was not on that. I'm incorrect. I was like, oh, I don't think it was.
It was the Sticky Fingers.
Sticky Fingers. That's right. So, but they could capture an ethos. Like they were a blues based rock and roll band. I love the Stones. And they're one of my favorites. I know. I think I have everything. I have all their stuff. After Love Is Strong, I started kind of getting a little lost. But this was like, it had a party fun beat, but it also, I mean, yeah, he's like, I couldn't, he said in 95, Jagger said in 95, I couldn't write this song now. Okay, I get that. But where's like any, they were able to write music that really captured like an era. So the Let It Bleed album that they had, that's where they had Gimme Shelter, and they had Live With Me, Let It Bleed title track, Midnight Rambler, You Can't Always Get What You Want. That album had a mood. That album was a mood. That was what in, I'm trying to think what year that came out in 69. And that's when they were dealing with all the drugs. And wasn't that right at the concert that they had? That was like right after that Altamont concert, after all the violence that broke out. That was right after, that was like a day after this album came out. They had that issue. And then you had the assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr. and RFK. And there was all kinds of stuff going on with war, Tet Offensive and all this. And Gimme Shelter, the first track on that, that's one of my favorite songs because it's so, I mean, it's so, that's just a moody, dark, gothic kind of real vibe. I don't know. It's just, it's heavy. And you know, when you hear it, you're like, that's heavy. That's something's going to go off there. Anyway, I could like get into the whole, I am obsessed with the creation of the song and the background vocals and all that stuff. Anyway, long story short, to cancel all this stuff. I mean, it's one thing. I don't, is there anybody who's alive who's like, oh yeah, all these things are thinking that they were singing about, these were good things. No one's saying this. I mean, and they didn't even say this in the song. It's a good song. And it makes me think of KSHE 95 from in my hometown of St. Louis. That was the rock station. They use that in their commercials and everything. I hear that and I think of KSHE and Rolling Stones, right? You hear that song, what do you think of? I think of being in the, you know, either on the river, on Black River in Missouri, while everybody's barbecuing and playing the Stones, and most of the adults are drunk, so you can light off bottle rockets and unused and the empty beer bottles, and nobody's going to say nothing to you. We did. Oh, we tore it up. But, you know, it's a mood, and now, oh, they can't play it. But Keith Richards seems less resigned to this than Mick Jagger does, which I thought was interesting. They all seem very, like, very sensible now. I don't know. But they haven't played it in a while, a long while. Is it that? I mean, the lyrics are, I guess, I don't know. What do you think, Kane? You're a music guy. You like...
Yeah, I'm down with music. I could, if you just read the lyrics as the lyrics, I guess you can see where people would have issues. You know, it was sexualizing black women, essentially, is what it was doing.
Mm-hmm. From the point of a slave owner.
Yeah, I guess, but he talks in the song.
Well, I mean,
about,
they literally say "scarred old slaver." That's like one of their lyrics.
Knows what,
yeah,
scarred old slaver knows what he's doing.
No, so he's doing all right. Yeah,
yeah. So they're talking about that slaver, not as the slaver,
right.
But yeah, I don't. I guess you really have to, you know, want to be upset about it.
I don't know. I just really like that guitar riff. Could they change something on it if worse came to worse? Or maybe just, can people just, I don't know, stop? There's nothing about it. It would be weird to kind of sing that out loud at a concert with other people. In your car is one thing. You know, it's like Gimme Shelter. You wouldn't sing Rape Murder. You wouldn't sing that like that, like outside, you know, with a bunch of people. That's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not one thing that you would sing. You wouldn't sing that.
This isn't the number one pick for karaoke night.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. I could sit here and go, we could have music. Mary Clayton, by the way, she did the BGVs and for Gimme Shelter. She like had a miscarriage right after she did that. Really? Yeah, that is like a horrible story. And when I hear, because she like showed up in the middle of the night and they asked her as a favor, they're like, oh man, we need somebody. She grew up in a Baptist church in New Orleans. She grew up singing. If you listen to her isolated vocal track, that woman owns everybody who has ever sung after her. That woman could sing rings around. Give me somebody. Give me somebody. I would put all my money on Mary Clayton. Oh, my gosh. The emotion, the control. Amazing. I didn't mean for it to be all about music right now, but I don't know, man. I love the Stones. And the thing I was thinking about when I was compiling the rundown is I was like, every really weird era internationally had its own music stamp. Like when the Berlin Wall fell, I mean, I was a little bitty, but still, I know that, you know, my husband, who's a little older than me, but he was in high school when all that happened. And there's some, whether it's U2 and all these other like new wave music acts from that era, that is like music that you associate mentally with that period. And so there's the soundtrack that's created for it. Same thing with Vietnam War. And I would even argue with Gulf War too. There's something with that. So with any kind of tense period, there's always something, any kind of unrest, there's always some kind of soundtrack. There was a ton of stuff in the 90s with Bush, even with W. But we don't have anything like that now. I think that's one of our problems, honestly. Although if anybody does it, they're going to make it so contrived politically that it's going to be awful.
Look, good music sometimes tells good stories. It doesn't mean that there's some support for the subject matter in the story or anything like that. That's why I think people are getting a little overblown about this whole thing. But I can understand, I guess, where the Rolling Stones would remove it from their set list. But I just think it's a decent story, and that's literally all it is.
Yeah. I mean, it is. I mean, they're talking about the horrors of something that happened in that time. Now we're going to cancel everything. I don't know. Is it really anything worse than you would hear in like some of Snoop's music? No. I mean, there's even some rock acts that are pretty, you know, I'm just saying. We could sit here and look at some AC/DC songs. I'm just saying.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others. The Dana Show.
I can play drums like on half of this. I just want to, it's just karaoke today. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. This is such an epic beginning to any song. And make sure you go subscribe to that newsletter. There's a big old piece that I had for you last night that came out. And we're actually going to talk to the guy who broke that story, my friend Luke Rosiak. I've been friends with him for years. He's broken a lot of stories, and he's very tenacious. And I think that probably people in D.C., when they see Luke come in with his little recorder and that, they probably hate him. But he does a really good job. And this Loudoun County School Board, right before we came back, I just saw now some of the local media in that area are finally now starting to discuss this. It's amazing. Here's something that y'all may not know about that. And we're going to talk more about this next hour with Luke. But so, you know, the dad, Scott Smith, the guy who was, you know, his daughter was raped in the bathroom. The school wanted to settle it internally. They tried to hide it. And so when all this was going on, they barred him from going to the school board meetings. And then they surreptitiously snuck the offender to a different school. Well, the individual that's prosecuting him and the attorney, and we're going to talk about this, the county prosecutor, source-funded county prosecutor. This source-funded county prosecutor was actually a part of what they called the Anti-Racist Parents of Loudoun County. It was a Facebook group that these moms, they called them Chardonnay Antifa. They were asking, anybody know any hackers? Remember when we made fun of it? That's the Chardonnay Antifa group. And so they were on Facebook, the members of the school board and these moms that supported them, and this attorney, this prosecutor for Loudoun County. And they were all running down talking smack and how to, you know, dox these parents and do all this stuff. This same prosecutor is now prosecuting this dad for a misdemeanor. She's trying to get jail time for this guy for a misdemeanor of disorderly conduct when they arrested him at that school board meeting. That's when he got that charge. And you all saw that on video. How in the world is she allowed to be involved in this case when she was literally a part of the Facebook group and in the discussions when they were running down these parents and talking about doxing them? We're going to ask Luke Rosiak that coming up next hour. A lot more on the way. Don't miss it. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling kind of hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, inflation, the list goes on. There is something that you can do. You can buy from companies that believe what you believe and support your right to believe what you want to believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there has been one company that's willing to stand with you and has done so since 2012, and that's Patriot Mobile. It's America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as all the other major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations that fight for religious freedom, your constitutional rights, sanctity of life, veteran and first responders as well. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get free activation with offer code Dana. Get special discounts for veterans and first responders, also multi-line accounts. Support a company that loves America and shares your values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
How long do you think it will be until it's safe for vaccinated people to once again be indoors without a mask?
You know, it's always tough to predict that. I think if we continue to go down in the cases that we're seeing right now and more people get vaccinated, as the dynamics of the outbreak, namely the amount of virus circulating in the community, goes down, I hope we'll be able to pull back on some of those restrictions to get closer to what we really feel is normal.
Shut up your mouth. Welcome back. Dana Lash here. DanaLash.com. Go and subscribe to that newsletter. And thank you to everybody in Pennsylvania for the very, very hospitable welcome. Everyone's kindness. We'll talk more about that coming up. And we're going to get through the week together. We're going to go over all the stuff. That's it. We're going to go over everything. I had one thing I was going to discuss. Obviously, that was Fauci. I just like to tell him to shut up. I just like to play the audio and just say, tell him to be silent. I'm just done. Everyone's a clown, and I just don't feel like being nice about it anymore, right? I'm in a quasi-Joker mood. That's doing some heavy lifting, that word. Oh, man. California just banned all of the gas-powered everything. No, for real. Well, hang on. Let me be specific. They're banning the sale of lawnmowers, leaf blowers, and other gas-powered equipment. In California, The new law requires small motor landscaping equipment to be zero emission. It has to be battery powered or plug in. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. California Air Resources Board says this. They say that it has to be zero emission because, really, the lawn stuff. Gosh, I have so many stories from this. It covers anything that produces less than 25 gross horsepower. And that includes the weed trimmers, the lawn mowers, the everything. This is the Los Angeles Times that had this. This is so goofy.
Has anybody used, anybody who's used the battery powered equipment versus the gas powered equipment?
They're horrible.
It's weak.
This is
horrible.
A clown show. Clown show. This is so ridiculous. Which it's maybe, it's a good thing that they banned them because we have a supply chain disruption. So who knows? Let's just, everybody just get a mule and have them go out there or a donkey, have them go out there and gnaw on the grass. Get you a goat, man.
Well, the thing is that you can't even water your lawn in California. That's illegal, I think. So
what did you tell me that their grass is illegal, but grass isn't?
Right. Yeah. Your lawn is more illegal than marijuana.
That's crazy. They said that because they were talking to a bunch of landscaping companies and they were talking about the increased costs and all this. And yeah, this is craziness. So this is a new law. And they said that they transitioned to 100% zero emission off-road vehicles and equipment by 2035. Jeez. And of course, the law was made up by a bunch of rich white people who've never had to handle their own lawns. If any of these people ever had dealt with a battery operated lawn, anything. They're horrible. They're the dumbest things ever. My stepdad once got so mad. He thought it would be fun. And maybe he had to plug it in and I could hear him out. I don't think I can say, Kane, can I say on air the word? I don't think I can.
Better safe than sorry. Okay. So probably not.
It was a PR word for a male copulatory organ. And it was his swear word of choice whenever he found something that was displeasing. And so he would call, he called this battery, this plug-in electric powered weed eater that he got one time. He called it that. And then he took it back to the store. He was mad out there because it didn't do nothing. He was livid. And then he kept dragging cords all over the yard. And it was so ridiculous. So, yeah. And then how much do you think batteries are? Because you're going to have, they were looking at this. Andrew Bray is the president of government relations for the National Association of Landscape Professionals. They say a three-person landscaping crew is going to need to carry 30 to 40 fully charged batteries just to power equipment for a full day's work. Oh my gosh. Where do you think the power for the batteries comes from, you blockheads? Where do you think it comes from? It comes from coal-fired plants. Oh my gosh. Look at us. We're going to not use gas so we can use more coal. It's amazing. We're so smart. Look how much we love the earth.
It's like the logic of hating those pipelines. And would rather have trucks and trains transporting the fuel because the environment.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. The zero emission equivalent of a gas powered commercial riding lawnmower costs twice the amount of the gas powered. And the gas powered can be anywhere from 7 to 11,000, and that's the commercial riding. Double that for zero emissions. So you have all these really rich Marxists in California who have never, literally have never a day in their lives ever had to deal with any lawn, anything. Nothing. And they're the ones out here. This sounds really good. Why is it that they're making it harder for everybody else? What sacrifices are the richy rich Marxists? What sacrifices are they making? None. Batteries are expensive. And the energy that comes from the batteries, over 86% is still today produced in coal-powered plants. And we don't have an infrastructure that is quote-unquote green that would offset that. By the way, where do you all think that the batteries and the lithium and all that comes from? Oh, it comes from the communist government of China. The Communist Party of China. They own the market on it right now, and they will for some time. So you're basically paying the communists that are wanting to declare war on Taiwan and threatening the United States. You're paying them and helping to build up their military because of the earth, because of a made up problem right now, because there's no general consensus. And YouTube and everyone else, you can act, you can just get hit over the head with a bag of a bunch of unflattering things. Nobody cares. There's no general consensus. So you have expensive batteries that are basically made in China. And the power from those made in China batteries are going to come from coal powered plants. Great job. Jeez, these morons.
And then when those batteries fail, do you think 100% of the people dispose of them properly?
No.
Of course not.
For the planet. It's for the planet. So ridiculous. So it's the California Air Resources Board. Air Resources, it's air. Okay, this is not like space balls. Okay, it's air. Good grief. This is why aliens don't visit us. I wouldn't. If I was an alien, I wouldn't visit us either. So ridiculous. Everybody's a clown. All these people, it's all clowns. Clowns, clowns, clowns. The ongoing harassment of Kristen Sinema continues. Now activists are planning to confront her while she runs the Boston Marathon. Jeez. So like a Tsarnaev, huh? They're going to Tsarnaev her? Is that what they're wanting to do? I'm just asking. By the way, I made a bunch of lefties mad because I pointed out Rolling Stone is a clown, the magazine. They're a bunch of clowns. And oh man, that made the left angry, and I don't care. Because Twitter's not a real place. Oh, I don't care because Twitter's not a real place. It's not. Rolling Stone has this tweet out. And this is where the Tsarnaev connection comes in. So they're going after Eric Clapton because Eric Clapton does not like mandated vaccines, right? So they have this piece because he doesn't like the vaccines. They're like, he's anti-vax and he's bankrolling vaccine nonsense and he's a big racist and all this other stuff. I want to remind everybody that Rolling Stone, and this is what I noted online that made all the left mad, Rolling Stone put one of the Boston bombers on the cover of their magazine, Tiger Beat style. Remember that? One of the Tsarnaevs, the one who used his brother as a speed bump. Oh, yeah. They put him on the cover of Rolling Stone. They ran a false story accusing University of Virginia Phi Kappa Psi of rape and defamed that fraternity and all the young men in it. They ran a false story from a woman who lied about it. Her own friends even said she lied. She liked one of the guys in the fraternity. And I guess because it wasn't reciprocal, she decided to make up a story about being raped to make him jealous or something. And made up. And finally, when they actually were looking at it, they realized everything she said, there's not a single thing that could be confirmed. And her own friends came forward and said she lied. Rolling Stone did not at all whatsoever vet that story. They ran it as a cover story, as a series. And they defamed Phi Kappa Psi, for which they had to retract and apologize because they didn't fact check anything. They ran a false piece on ivermectin. They basically picked up something from some Oklahoma publication, ran it without even picking up the phone to confirm a damn thing, ran it, and then also had to apologize for that. These people are clowns, and they're mad at Eric Clapton. They're absolute clowns. And I pointed this out, and the left got very angry. But again, nobody cares because Twitter's not a real place. So this,
by the way, the spirit of rock and roll is to rebel against, you know, anything, especially government. So when did Rolling Stone flip?
Rolling Stone has sucked forever. You know, I don't even go by their top 100 music things because it's about political correctness and popularity. It's not actually about music. I can't stand that. Jan Winner is a clown. Clown! So I'm just... the left has become these like new little Marxist Puritans. And I say that, I use the term Puritan to embody the stereotypical behavior that the left used to claim to hate and use to stereotype everything. But now they embody it themselves. They're the worst. They are the, if you notice, when did the left, you were supposed to be the open-minded people, the people who ask questions. Now you can't ask questions. You can't, you basically, you can't have any kind of, any thought that pushes the envelope in terms of questioning authorities, questioning the state, questioning science, questioning anything. If we went by how the left believes, we would still be saying that the earth is flat, because that was settled science back in the day, right, guys? Remember that? We would still be saying that the earth was flat and that the universe revolved around us. Science was settled, guys. Hell, people did lobotomies. Science was settled. How dare you question it? It's settled science. Leeches, yeah. We got to bleed people out. Got to bleed the virus out of them. You know, settled science. These people sound like a bunch of damn witch doctors. These people aren't following the science. It's ridiculous. They're not following the science at all. They're following propaganda and ideology. All right, so we got a lot. And remember, Twitter's not a real place. Do you find yourself turning on the news and feeling kind of hopeless? Open borders, spending gone crazy, the prospect of more mandates, inflation, the list goes on. There is something that you can do. You can buy from companies that believe what you believe and support your right to believe what you want to believe. We need to stick together now more than ever. And there has been one company that's willing to stand with you and has done so since 2012, and that's Patriot Mobile. It's America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer broad nationwide coverage. In fact, they use the same towers as all the other major carriers. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their 100% U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer support. More importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations that fight for religious freedom, your constitutional rights, sanctity of life, veteran and first responders as well. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and get free activation with offer code Dana. Get special discounts for veterans and first responders, also multi-line accounts. Support a company that loves America and shares your values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Man, I am here for this. I will sit out there with a cigar in my mouth and let the flames light it. A solar superstorm could prompt an internet apocalypse and global outages. 93 million miles away, a solar storm brews. They said it could be, honestly, this would be the best thing ever. I would be made happy by this. I think that's totally fine. They said we're protected from the sun's constant littering of radiation, the solar wind, thanks to the ionosphere. That's our magnetic shield. But with nowhere to go, those magnetic particles are pulled to the north and south poles, and that's where we get some of these auroras before they dissipate. But sometimes solar flares kicked up, and you have coronal mass ejection, CME. And that solar storm, that's enough to penetrate the shield, wreak havoc. You can have electromagnetism. It runs the world. And oh my gosh, cats and dogs living together. Parents are going to actually have to talk to their kids instead of sending them memes on Facebook Messenger. What? So, okay, I'm all right with that. I'm just saying. All right, so I got more stuff. Let's Go Brandon signs are popping up on sports TV. I had to explain this to an older family member. And I was like, do you want me to just tell you what it means, or just take a long way of being proper about it? And they're like, just tell me. Let's Go Brandon. They're popping up everywhere. Michigan beat Nebraska. They were everywhere. You see a college game, man. Everywhere you see, it's Let's Go Brandon. They were chanting it again over the weekend. Was it? You had Bama got defeated, and there were some Let's Go Brandon signs there. Let's Go Brandon. Oh, man. Shoplifting in New York City. This is what's leaving drugstores like Duane Reade and others and Walgreens leaving empty shelves. New York pharmacies are now experiencing product shortages thanks to supply chain issues and now theft. This is the other thing. And then you have panic buying and stockpiling. That's also contributing to the problem. Stop it! They said that prices are rising. It's just all crazy. We've seen this. My husband was at the store yesterday. He saw this yesterday. It's going to get worse, man. I'm telling you. So go ahead and stock. Thankfully, yours truly always is stocked. And so when my family complains, like, did we really get another shipment of like Clorox? Did we really get another shipment of toilet paper? Did we really get? And now they can't complain when they see headlines like this. Yes, I did. I actually set up regular shipments of basic everyday necessities weekly. No joke. I got another one coming in 2 days. No joke. Just because I like, you know, and I just keep it consistent. That way I don't ever have to worry, right? That's just the way you do it. Hot tub on wheels may be shut down, not because it's gross, but because they don't have a permit. I don't like baths and I don't like hot tubs. It's people's soup. Be real about it. It's soup. You're getting in hot water with a bunch of people and their skin flakes and everything else, and it's disgusting. It's people soup. There's a Tennessee entrepreneur who has a hot tub on wheels. It's one of Nashville's best-known party vehicles. They said you can't operate a public pool without a permit. So because he didn't beg for the government's permission, they're going to shut him down. I just think it's gross. That's me, though. We got a lot more on the way, including my weekend. And now apparently Superman's son is bisexual. Oh, we're going to have some conversations. Don't go anywhere.
You're going to start to see winter and fall waves in the northern states. And, you know, we have a summer season, but you're going to see that. And so I think that that's something that should be stressed more and more.
Well, yeah. And I think that Ron DeSantis is right. Best mom, Ron DeSantis. He's right. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. When we were, by the way, welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. We were having this conversation about the seasonality of how when the temperatures get cooler in the South and people can stop running their ACs as hard as they do and they actually go outside more, you're going to see things decrease. And then same thing, you know, up north, people are going to be spending more time indoors, et cetera, et cetera. You'll see them. And you're actually, we're already seeing that. So let me share this with you. I'm done with this, and the Loudoun County stuff has got me in. I am just like no tolerance. I don't think you do either. So there are now some experts and scientists from Indian Institute of Technology in Bombay. They were trying to demonstrate how far the virus can spread in both calm and windy conditions. And they're suggesting that face masks should be worn outside, especially when it's windy, to curb the spread of COVID. They haven't even been a legal requirement in England since July. They don't do anything. That's just fact. That's not like anything other than fact. So let's just wear 6 feet of face panties at all times when eating and drinking. And guys, just if you are hungry and you want to have a drink or you want to have a snack, just sit next to your stuff and absorb it through osmosis. So like Kane, we could sit you next to a sandwich and then it could disappear. And then we'll go, Kane, how's that sandwich? And you can say through your face panties, it was delicious.
Wow.
I absorbed it.
Not sure that's science, but okay.
Yeah, it's science. And if you're not absorbing your food, you're not close enough to it.
I see.
Just absorb it that way. And then maybe one day our face orifices will go away and we won't even need the panties on our faces, Kane. Could happen.
We literally don't need them now.
Or we could just all walk around with injections, just IVs, and just get all our nutrients that way. That way we don't have to, we just keep our face panties on. 6 feet of face panties. Let's go ahead and suffocate yourself to death. That'll be better.
For your health.
For your health. Like in Australia, we're here to beat the hell out of you for violating the mandate for your health. Jeez. Just can't. None of this works. I can't believe we're still back to. None of them work. You know, have you ever tried to dress a toddler? Because getting me to wear face panties, that's what it's like. That's what it'd be like. You think Australia officers had trouble with people? Jiminy Christmas. Be like bathing a cat or dressing a toddler. One of the two. Or you know what, Kate? We could all just work for USPS, the United States Postal Service. Just work for USPS. And because they don't have to do the mandate. They don't have to do any of that.
Or we just get elected to Congress. Because they don't have to either.
I want to go back to a moment. The Southwest CEO. I'm going to make fun of him. I was going to ask you if it's mean and I don't care. First, can I hear it again? Just 14. Just let me hear audio soundbite 14. 1-4. Just one little bitty bit. One more time, please.
Talking about the vaccine mandate. Oh, yeah. I mean, there are some that have very strong views on both sides of that issue. And, you know, it's not As I think you probably know, I've never been in favor of corporations imposing that kind of a mandate. I'm not in favor of that, never have been. But the executive order from President Biden mandates that all federal employees and then all federal contractors, which covers all the major airlines, have to have a mandate, a vaccine in place by December the 8th. So we're working through that.
So the guy who, wait a minute, it's not even an actual law. It's not even a mandate. It was a press release. So the guy who, the CEO of the country, of the Southwest CEO is bending a knee to a mandate that doesn't exist. And the CEO who's like, well, I don't support this mandate, doesn't even exist. It's not even real. It's not even rural. R-I-L-L. But I'm on bending a knee to it anyway. Man, if everybody thought like him, that's like, it's not even, it's just a press release. You're losing your staff and you're screwing up air travel because of a press release. It's not a law. It hasn't even gone through the proper procedure. So bending a knee to a non-existent mandate and this company CEO who doesn't believe it, but I'm going to enforce this non-existent thing. What is this? How the hell is this guy CEO?
Basic civics, like what? Which branch actually creates law?
Sir, can you tell us how planes fly? Well, I don't know. I think it's the angels that lift them up in the air.
The wind beneath my wings.
They blow on them and they fly. It's kind of, I don't know, man. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard of. I don't like mandates. Biden forced me to do it. We don't like the mandate from Biden and we don't like CEOs who force things that aren't actually even mandates because there's no legal binding to this. Even if they wanted it. And I'm not saying that just as, you know, to be political. I'm saying that because they didn't actually go through the whole process of it. Well, I hate the mandates, but you know, it's all Biden's fault. The reason that I'm enforcing this mandate that doesn't exist. It's all Biden's fault. I'm not defending Biden. I think the mandate's stupid, but I think it's equally stupid for this guy to sit here and enforce something that doesn't exist. Yes, he should be made fun of a lot. All right, you guys want to make fun of old hippies? Let's do that. So, audio soundbite 11, Ben and Jerry, two old dudes who make ice cream, and it's gross. They have the skin texture of a Kraklin from Captain D's. These two old dudes who make ice cream, they hate Israel, and they're not fans of Jewish people. So they decided, they were asked actually two really good questions. So here's the first. I don't know which one is which. One of them, Tweedledee and Tweedledum, decided that they were asked a question about Israel's policies, and they couldn't actually articulate anything about it. Listen.
If you disagree with the Israeli government policy, why not just stop sales completely?
Well, I disagree with the U.S. policy. We couldn't stop selling in the U.S. I think it's fine to be involved with a country, to be a citizen of a country, and to protest some of the country's actions. And that's essentially what we're doing in terms of Israel. We hugely support Israel's right to exist, mm-hmm. but we are against a particular policy.
What particular policy? One that's existing. Well, can you tell us what it is? This is an existing policy. What does it do? It exists. And then they were asked, okay, but you're selling in Georgia and Texas. Now, I don't like the reporter asking questions. I think she's obviously very biased. But listen to this. Audio Soundbite 12. This guy did not even have an answer.
You guys are big proponents of voting rights. Why do you still sell ice cream in Georgia? Texas, abortion bans. Why are you still selling there?
He literally doesn't know.
I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting question. I don't know what that would accomplish. We're working on those issues of voting rights and...
Mm-hmm.
I, don't know. I think you ask a really good question, and I think I'd have to sit down and think about it for a bit.
Because I don't know. I didn't know. I just is making ice cream, man. I don't know. I don't know nothing about petting no rabbits. I don't know. Does anybody actually like their ice cream? No. It's not good. It's not creamy. It's not good ice cream, right? I don't think
it
is.
It's just too expensive for what you get. Like, you can get other good ice cream.
It tastes like bitterness and old man tears. That's what it tastes like.
Gotta look at
made with 100% bitterness and old man tears.
Gotta look at the ingredients list on that.
You gotta be, yeah, I'm telling you, because that's like, it's dangerous. It could be poisonous. Insane.
But Georgia and Texas voting laws are actually pretty liberal.
We've talked about this.
It's so dumb.
Georgia's
for her
laws
to frame
are even ridiculous. Like, who?
The
like,
question.
I mean, what about Georgia's voting laws? I want to make fun of everybody I don't like today, honestly, because that's a stupid question to ask. You mean Georgia's laws that, and notice that she didn't know enough about what she was talking about to actually make the point that, well, I mean, that as she brings up Texas, she's like, the abortion ban, which there's no abortion ban. That's so stupid, too. But she couldn't make the point that she sits here and talks about Georgia and then ironically goes to Texas that has like as open, although Georgia now does basically what? Just drop your vote here on the street corner in this box of ballots that no one's watching. Go ahead. It's totally fine. That reminds me of England's free knives boxes that they had. Oh, my gosh. There you go. There you go. All kinds of fun stuff. All right, so some of the other things that we have coming up for you today. Biden is losing COVID trust. And there's another Facebook whistleblower who says she's willing to testify before Congress. We don't really care. I mean, you know what this is all about, but I'm sure they're probably going to bring her up. So we're going to get into all of that as well. We have the latest with this NFL stuff. These emails, John Gruden. You have all these people that are angry over this dude's emails than they are about the fact that a freshman girl was raped in a school bathroom because of their bathroom policies and her dad was called a domestic terrorist by the administration because he defended her. Man, people are just ridiculous. Is there any asteroids projected to collide with this planet? We should probably check the weather.
For over 40 years, Delta Rescue has provided dedication and everlasting love to animals that have been left abandoned. Delta is the largest no-kill and care-for-life animal sanctuary in the world. This super sanctuary is home to up to 1,500 animals that have been cruelly abandoned or born in the wilderness and cares for every animal for the entirety of that animal's life. Every animal at Delta Rescue receives the very best of care, and Delta relies solely on donor contributions from people like you for that care. By being a part of the Delta mission, you are the difference between life and death for so many of these animals. Donate today at deltarescue.org, or for more information on Delta's tax-saving estate planning, visit directly deltarescue.org/Dana and ask for my free estate package. It lays out all you need to know about growing your estate while letting your compassion for animals live well into the future. This is only available at deltarescue.org/Dana. Show your dedication and everlasting love and make your legacy work for the animals. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana today.
Well, number one, it's really young. There's not enough evidence supporting its safety. There are some concerns I have about it. But I have a group called CUF, Citizens United for Freedom. We have vaccinated people in our group. We're more pro-medical freedom. I don't agree that, I think this is the greatest human rights violation of our time to say that the government can inject you with these things. Personally, I'm not ready to take the vaccine yet. I don't think it's been proven safe.
So this is a doctor from UCLA, Christopher Rake. He was the guy who had to be escorted off premises because he would not get the injection. And he's a doctor, so he knows less about it than the bureaucrats making these laws, don't you know? Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com, at DLash on Twitter. Make sure you go subscribe to Substack, my newsletter over there. So that I was watching that and they escorted him out like he was a criminal because he didn't get an injection. And it was really weird. And they were like very hostile towards him in the video. He was very polite and all of this, very polite, but I'm telling you, this is where where stuff is going. All right, let's go ahead and kick it into some Florida Man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
One of my favorite stories is out at Orange County, Florida. The guy's name is Eugene Botzi. He's a military veteran and he's a dad. He's been in Florida for a year. He's from Philly, but he's a Florida man now, but he's a good guy Florida man. So what ended up happening is, and this is according to WESH2, Denise Sparks says there was a 6-foot alligator in front of her Orange County home. And she had no idea because she would, you know, goes out the door and leaves for work and all this. And she says, I would have been gator food. She's like, I would have fainted and it would have eaten me. So the dad goes out because the kids are all playing outside and all that. So the dad goes out. He's in the driveway and he brings one of those big old trash cans that has a lid on it. And he traps this gator in the trash can. And then he maneuvers it down the embankment towards the retention pond and pushed it over and then ran up the hill. He goes, army training kicked in. Get it done, dropping it, keep it moving. And so they had Orange County tweeted out that people should call the state's nuisance line. And they asked him about that. And he's like, I don't know the procedure, so I did it my own way. Well, he did what needed to be done. That was so great, though, to watch this. This video, I know it went viral, but it was so great. That was me. It was so great. I've watched this thing like 50,000 times. And you can hear all the kids and everybody in the background going, oh, which that would have probably scared me more than anything else, you know, like hearing them do that. But he did it. He did real well. So there you go. And he says he does the same with snakes, too. OK, so how many snakes and gators do you got to move with that trash can in Florida? I'm asking for some folks because dang, that's all right. So a 60-year-old Florida man is looking to obliterate the decade-old Guinness World Record of surfing the most consecutive hours without pause. That sounds, I'm tired from reading it. That sounds really tired. He's doing it for charity as opposed to just, you know, I don't know, attention. Curtis Loftus was 50 years old when he surfed for 30 hours. He will be 60 and he's going to attempt 40. It's going to be at Jacksonville Beach in front of the lifeguard station, October 15th through the 28th. What? So I don't know, man. That's pretty hardcore. 30 hours. He's already done it for 30 hours and now he's going to go for 40. So man alive. That's pretty, wow. I don't want to read this story because it has to do with a foot fetish and that's disgusting. And a burglar breaking into people's homes. Let's see here. So this Florida man, this is WSVN. They had a standoff, apparently. Hours long, a Ventura SWAT situation ends. This guy's wanted by U.S. Marshals. And he ended up getting on the roof. They had a chopper out. 25-year-old Trent Michael Conley would not surrender. He somehow got up on the roof of a house, and they had a standoff up there forever. So he just stood on the end of the apartment building, and they had knocked on his door with a warrant around 1:30, and he was combative, barricaded himself in, and then climbed up, Spider-Man style, I guess. He's going to appear in court on Friday. We got a lot more in store, a whole full hour of the program on the way. Stick with us. More of the Dana Show after this. Friends, we're on the brink of an economic crisis, really. I mean, thanks to the economic policies and the jobless numbers, that everything's been abysmal. Inflation is starting to increase. We're seeing supply chain disruptions. It's kind of crazy. Instead of following the former president's pro-business agenda that had the economy booming, now the new administration wants to tax corporations, tax small businesses, pass trillion-dollar bills that we can't pay for. You need to take proactive steps to protect your wealth and your retirement by investing in gold and precious metals, and Legacy Precious Metals can help. Washington keeps printing money and it devalues your dollar. Gold offers you a hedge against inflation. As the dollar gets weaker, gold gets stronger. So the folks at Legacy Precious Metals are the gold standard when it comes to investing in precious metals. They have a team of experts who can counsel you on the best options for you and your family. Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals at 866-580-2088 or visit them online to download their free investor's guide that's full of all kinds of useful information at LegacyPMInvestments.com. Visit Legacy, letter P, letter M, Investments.com.
Jen, there is a mask requirement inside D.C. restaurants, yet President Biden and the First Lady were not wearing masks while walking around a D.C. restaurant on Saturday. Why?
Well, I think what we were referring to is a photo of them walking out of a restaurant after they had eaten, masks in hand, where they had not yet put them back on yet. So I would say, of course, there are moments when we all don't put masks back on as quickly as we should. But I don't think we should lose the forest through the trees here, and that our objective here is to get more people vaccinated, make sure that that schools and companies around the country can put in place requirements to save more lives and keep people safer. And, you know, not overly focus on moments in time that don't reflect overarching policy.
It was not just exiting the restaurant, though. He was walking through the restaurant with no mask on. There is a carve out for people under two or people who are actively eating or drinking. So I'm just curious why the president was doing this.
I think I just addressed it, Peter.
Okay. I think I just addressed it, Peter, but you didn't. Welcome back to the radio show. It's good to be with you. DanaLash.com. is the website, folks. And don't forget another hour of programming that's not radio with the First, 5 Central, 6 Eastern. And you can download the Odyssey app to listen to the show that you're listening to now if you want to listen to it a different way with the Odyssey app. I am mentioning that to you because I'm supposed to. So go. You can also download the app. All right, so this... I'm so tired of talking about mask hypocrisy and mask mandates. I'm so tired of it. I really am. Face panties. I mean, how many times have we talked about this issue, Kane?
Every day
for?
Oh, God.
Year and a half.
A year and a half. Yeah. We know. They're hypocrites. Hey, guess what, guys? Joe Biden's a hypocrite about masks. What? That is such new information. That is so new. Oh, my gosh. What?
All politicians are.
What? There are hypocrites with masks? What? I feel like Daria right now. Yeah, true. I'm more interested in reading about the real-life Rapunzel who didn't cut her 65-inch hair in almost 30 years, more so than I am hearing anything else about the hypocrisy of Joe Biden. And that we know, the face paint, we know. I'm done caring about it because I don't wear them. If I see a sign that said masks suggested or encouraged, I will totally definitely not wear one. I'm not going to wear one anyway. And if when I'm forced to wear one in my doctor's office, they don't tell you how to wear it. So I just put it as stupidly over my face as possible. When I had to go in I had to go in just to see my doctor, and you have to wear your mask. And that's like what's required, even though they don't actually work. But OK.
I just don't like the idea of you're sick until proven healthy. You know what I mean? It's like that's kind of dumb to me.
True. That is actually a really good point. You're sick until proven healthy. But even when you prove healthy, it doesn't matter. That's the other thing. Because you could prove that you have immunity because you contracted coronavirus instead of getting the injection that doesn't actually act as a vaccine, and they still don't think it. It doesn't matter that if you have antibodies that way. The only antibodies that matter are the ones that are weaker and given to you in the form of a needle. That's it. Oh, boy. There you go. All of this is just, I will say that I can't stand, as the left gets dumber, I think some on the right try to follow them to compete with them. You notice this? Good point. Yeah, it's like, don't wrestle with the pig. What is that saying? Because the pig likes it, only the pig likes it.
You'll get all dirty, but the pig likes it.
Do you get any bacon out of it, though?
I guess it depends on how hard you wrestle.
It's true. Like if you can get some bacon out of it, then that's okay. Then maybe we'll have this conversation. Well, you know, we can have that, maybe talk about it. We got Stevie Nace is going to be joining us here coming up to discuss this situation with China, because they have this, their little hypersonic missile that went around the Earth. It's kind of scary. I mean, did it go around the Earth, or we just like pretend, or is that what they said it did? We'll ask that. We're going to ask that of Stephen Yates. We'll ask that with him. So, in the meantime, a few other things here to discuss. The airplane creator, the guy who made Airplane, I didn't realize that last year was the 40th anniversary of it. David Zucker has this op-ed that he posted over the weekend at New York Post. And he said that last year marked the 40th anniversary of the release of Airplane, the comedy I wrote and directed with my brother Jerry and our friend Jim Abrams. He said before the world shut down, Paramount held a screening at the Egyptian Theater in Hollywood, followed by a Q&A. Someone asked, could you make Airplane today? And my response was, of course we could, just without the jokes. And people say that they love Airplane, but they said that there's such backlash. There would be such backlash over the scenes today because of insensitivity. Insensitivity is boring. It's boring. And he was describing some of the scenes, and he said, I lost count of the people who came to me and said, you couldn't do this scene today. You couldn't do this scene today. And he goes, but I always wonder why not. He goes, half of the gags, because he was talking about the one scene he wrote. This is what his piece in New York Post. He said, it seems to be included in just about every top five movie comedy list. And there was talk at Paramount of withholding the re-release over feared backlash for scenes that today would be deemed insensitive. And he says, I'm referring to scenes like the one in which two black characters speak entirely in a jive dialect so unintelligible that it has to be subtitled. I've lost count of the number of people who said to me, you couldn't do that scene today. He said, but I always wonder why not. Half of the gags in that joke were aimed at white people. Given that the translation for the SH, you know, is golly, and the whole gag is topped off by the whitest lady on the planet, the actress who played the mom on Leave It to Beaver translating. He said the bit was even-handed because we made fun of both points of view. No one was offended by that scene. All audiences loved it, and they still do. And he's right. He's totally right. He goes, but in today's market, he writes, if I pitched a studio executive a comedy in which a white lady has to translate the speech of black people, in which an 8-year-old girl says, I like, yeah, oh my gosh, yeah. He goes, when he talks about the airline pilot that made the line was, Billy, have you ever been in a Turkish prison? That's all I'll say. He goes, I'd be told in studio ease, that's just great. We'll call you. Yeah. It's true, though. One of the animes that I've been watching, and Kane's watching it now too. What episode are you on? Do you totally finish it?
I finished it. So yeah, there's only 20 episodes in one season, but yeah, I finished it.
And they don't have any more. So it's and by the way, the reason before you like, oh my gosh, she's going to talk about anime, I'm going to change the channel or whatever you do. Don't. The reason I started watching it is because everything sucks. Everything that Hollywood puts out is garbage. Everything is sensitive. Everything has to be so contrived. Everything is boring and unimaginative, and it's just one giant remake, and I hate it. So I wanted to watch, like, original programming, right? And so that's where I started watching anime. And the ghost stories, I have not seen anything so politically incorrect since South Park's origins, right? This was done, like, in the early aughts. But it's kind of like a sleeper cult classic now. And it's Ghost Stories first debuted in Japan, and obviously, and it wasn't very successful. So they ended up selling the rights to, I think it's ADV, which is here in the United States. And they were told that you just have to follow canon. Like, you can't change the characters' names, and you can't change the stories, but you can have, you know, you have total artistic license with the dialogue. And so they took that very liberally to a ridiculous degree. And it is pure hysteria. It is one of the funniest things I've ever watched in my life. And the way that they approached it with the English dub is whatever character arrived first on the scene, they set the tone for that day. It is completely politically incorrect. Everyone is a target. There is not one person who walks away without getting hit. And I cry laughing watching this thing. It's on Amazon. It's Ghost Stories. It's the English dub. And it's the only English dub I'll ever watch, except for Cowboy Bebop. But it's so funny. You know what gets me is that it's still so popular right now, and it's really popular with, like, younger millennials and Gen Z. And I only realized this over the weekend. They never grew up with people who just did not GAF, and everyone gets hit. That's the amazing thing about comedy is that everyone is going to get popped. So I watch this guy. I've not watched a lot of him. He's a comedian. His name's Theo something. I only watched, like, one part of it. And he did this Denny bit where I cannot play any of it on air. he did this Denny bit where I lost my mind. So when I was younger, that was like the thing to do, right? You go to Denny's with your friends. You'd have Moons Over My Hammy. That was the thing to do. You get you some Moons Over My Hammy. Denny's was great. Well, apparently Denny's is a lot different from what I remember it being. Kind of like how Waffle House is. Like Denny's and Waffle House is where it was at. Denny's was a little bit more upscale. Was it though? I'm now questioning what I thought. Was it though? So anyway, now everybody fights. And my kids were like, you got to watch this. And they showed me 40 minutes of fights at a Waffle House and a Denny's. And they're like, Nana let you go to Denny's? Why did she let you go to Denny's? If I were you, I wouldn't even let me go to Denny's. I'm like, what? What is wrong? What? So apparently that's where all the fights happen. And the elderly people eat there in the morning and then the fights happen at night. I don't know. And then I watched a metal band play at a Denny's. Kane, I sent that to you. Do you remember? It was the guy who was like, what's up, Denny's? And then they were playing some really weird, really bad metal. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. It's changed. And kids think this is hysterical. They did not grow up with this culture like we did. Like we grew up with, I mean, the big sitcom when I was a kid was Evening Shade. And it was Burt Reynolds. It was all about chest hair and mustaches when I was a kid, right? Men had chest hair and they didn't care. Women didn't care. It was just a different time. And everyone was fair game in comedy. That was the culture that created the comedic element. Everybody was fair game in comedy. Everybody got made fun of. Your little old grandma got made fun of. Your next door neighbor got made fun of. You got made fun of. They made fun of themselves. Everybody got made fun of. Everyone was equal and getting mocked in comedy. That was the real equalizer. Because there was something hysterical about everyone. And everybody was dressed down and put in their place by comedy equally. That's the brilliance of it. And that's how it was with Airplane too. Everyone was equally mocked. Didn't matter what your race was or your religion or your sex. Everyone was equally mocked. And then there was like a little fellowship like where you would be like, yeah, okay. Because part of the comedy was stereotype. Right? There's a reason why the image of the white Karen is what it is. Right? I mean, we could sit here and go on and on about every single demo. People in every single demo laugh at the stereotypes about their own demo. And that's one of the truly equalizing things about comedy. Now you can't do that anymore. Any way that they can divide it and divide people. We have more to come because we're going to talk with Stephen Yates about what this Chinese missile means. I don't know. Did it break down immediately? It was only 20 miles off. Oh, well, it's, made by the Communist Party in China. It's okay.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I really wish I could share with you the stuff that we were talking about on commercial break, but you know what? We can't because it's called commercial break. So we can't share that information with you. Okay, so New York Times says that the Thomas Jefferson statue in New York City is going down. Well, maybe removed. I mean, at least that's what the New York City Council is looking at. The same city council that criminalized. I love the selling loose cigarettes. And then they wanted a harsher enforcement of the loose cigarette thing that they passed, and that's how Eric Garner ended up getting killed. So now I guess what? Now they're going to pretend that they're not racist by saying that we're going to remove the Jefferson statue, 7-foot-tall Thomas Jefferson, there in New York City Council. And so they said now the Public Design Commission is expected to vote on it today and approve a long-term loan of the statue to the New York Historical Society because a bunch of people were asking for the statue to be moved. And I'm really okay. Just everything is ridiculous. Also, speaking of ridiculousness, a couple of other things here for headlines. Pope Francis says that the George Floyd protest had the spirit of the Good Samaritan. Pope Francis said that this movement did not pass by on the other side of the road when they saw injury to the human dignity caused by an abuse of power. End quote. That's his quote. True, but the movement then crossed the road and then mugged the traveler again, beat his ass, and then assaulted random people while setting fire to the surrounding community and then extorted neighboring businesses by threatening more violence. I miss 90s Sinead O'Connor. Moving on. What? Who said that? Kane, you got to stop playing crazy sound bites. I'm just telling you. More bad Biden polling. I'm not laughing over this. More bad Biden polling. So a new Rasmussen report out says his handling of economic issues, 34% say excellent or good. Now, these are the hardcore Biden stands. 51% say poor. Bad news bear. And apparently the left is really hating this Politico acquisition. So Axel Springer's this guy who purchased apparently Politico. They got a big hit piece on him now in New York Times. I guess because the guy's not a Marxist, he's not a Marxist, so they have to run hit piece after hit piece on him. And the Biden administration has lost track of 45,000 unaccompanied migrant children. We warn people.
Let me be very clear. I grew up in segregated Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. I couldn't go to a movie theater or to a restaurant with my parents. I went to segregated schools till we moved to Denver. Mm-hmm. My parents never thought I was going to grow up in a world without prejudice, but they also told me that's somebody else's problem, not yours. You're going to overcome it, and you are going to be anything you want to be. And that's the message that I think we ought to be sending to kids. One of the worries that I have about the way that we're talking about race is that it either seems so big that somehow white people now have to feel guilty for everything that happened in the past. I mm-hmm. don't think that's very productive. Or black people have to feel disempowered by mm-hmm. race. I would like black kids to be completely empowered, to know that they are beautiful in their blackness. Mm-hmm. But in order to do that, I don't have to make white kids feel bad for being white.
That's Condoleezza Rice. Welcome back to the program, DanaLash.com. You know, she was on The View and she destroyed them on critical race theory. Have you ever heard her talk about gun control?
Yeah.
Oh, her story on gun control the first time I heard it, I was like, I had some little bit of chills. Now, she's a Republican. I don't agree with her on everything, but I have a lot of respect for her intellect. She's a very, very smart woman, and she is apparently an expert on football. I didn't know this. She is the only woman that was recognized by the NFF and given a gold medal. Remember all the time everyone was like, Connie should be NFL commissioner? Because there were talks. They were like, have her coach Cleveland Browns. She loves football. Her dad was a football coach, high school football coach, if I remember correctly. And she's also a very accomplished pianist. She did a duet with Yo-Yo Ma. She was on piano and blown away. I'm like, what else can this woman do? Good grief. She's very reserved. One of the things that I like, about her is that she doesn't go out and just, do red meat stuff. She is incredibly thoughtful and she makes you think. And she destroyed them on critical race theory. Just destroyed them. That was just an excerpt. And they could not argue with her. And she was sitting across from Whoopi Goldberg. And I could tell that Whoopi agreed with some of the stuff that she said, didn't agree with some things, but they had a lot of common ground. But Rice is such a commanding personality. Because she's so knowledgeable, there's a certain level of authority there on the issue. They just let her talk. And she just destroyed that whole argument. This is her. Do you have the gun control thing? Is that what you have?
I do.
Listen to this, because I got to play. I can't talk about this without playing her talking about why she opposes gun control. Listen.
Assault weapons. Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why I'm a defender of the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. I was a little girl growing up in Birmingham, Alabama in the late 50s, early 60s. There was no way that Bull Connor and the Birmingham police were going to protect you. Mm-hmm. And so when white night riders would come through our neighborhood, my father and his friends would take their guns and they'd go to the head of the neighborhood, it was a little cul-de-sac, and they would fire in the air if anybody came through. I don't think they actually ever hit anybody. Mm-hmm. But they protected the neighborhood. And I'm sure if Bull Connor had known where those guns were, he mm-hmm. would have rounded them up. Mm-hmm. And so I don't favor some things like gun registration. Mm-hmm. That said, it's time to have a national conversation about how we can deal with the problems mm-hmm. that we have. It's not going to be any single fix
right.
to the terrible events of Parkland. You're going to have to decide
Well, and she civilians really have.
And she got into this is a long clip, really, but this because I had like her. They had her for like two segments, and she talked about the mental health and the reporting of criminal activity and all of that. Her solution wasn't we're going to restrict guns, because you heard what she just said. You know, back in the, and that's why when I wrote my first book and I, when I dove into, because I, even when I was younger and when I was in college, I became, well, I completely made my total conversion over to the right, you could say, limited government, conservative, after 9/11, I would say maybe on 9/11. Because that I, my foreign policy, that was the last thing. I was never a big, I was never, I always believe, you know, I don't know, maybe it's just good being a Southern Missouri family, and it was pro-life, and it was everybody I knew hunted, and nobody there, I didn't know a Democrat that was for gun control till I moved, till we moved to the city. But when she talked about registration, when I did my first book, Hands Off My Gun, Hands Off My Guns, there was a lot that I knew, but then I was diving deep into the history of gun control in the era of Reconstruction, and it is shocking if you are unaware of it. And I have it in, I wrote about it, and I have a whole chapter about it in my book, and there are other some historical books out there that are a good reads about exactly how the very heart of gun control is racist. Because here you had an entire demographic free to cast a vote against the tyranny that wrongfully oppressed them. And you Democrats did not want that. They did not want that. So that's why there were in certain parts of the country, Democrats would not even let free black men and women own a firearm. And if you go back to the Dred Scott decision, you know, that, you know, Roger Taney, that racist, what was one of the reasons why he did not want to give Dred Scott full personhood as he deserved? Because that meant Dred Scott could own a gun, and you're establishing, he didn't want Roger Taney to want to establish this legal precedent for that. It's always, racism has always been at the heart of it. Disenfranchisement has always been at the heart of it. And when she talks about her experience, and she's right, that Democrat Bull Connor, he would have grounded up every gun. It's confiscation, registration. She's again, and rightfully so. You never, ever, ever want to be at the mercy of your government like that. And so, and they, she shut them down on that too. That was just a couple of years ago after Parkland. She shut them down on that issue too. And very kindly, you know, she wasn't mean about it, but she speaks with the authority of having lived through certain experiences and seeing the consequence of certain policy decisions that other people would not have seen because they weren't alive in that period. Just amazing stuff. Now, the two big stories, I think, today is that the U.S. government officially confirmed funding research enhancing the ability of bat coronaviruses, and everybody was lying about it. They were looking at bat coronaviruses with up to 96% genetic similarity to the SARS, SARS virus, to bind humanized receptors in the Wuhan lab. And scientists apparently didn't properly report the results, according to stuff from Catherine Herridge, the documentation that she has. So Fauci was lying about it. And then you have the situation with Merrick Garland, and now the National School Board Association officials, it's revealed they collaborated with the White House in the weeks before the release of their domestic terror letter. And so they wanted to and got. I mean, it's just amazing how they were able to target parents for possible domestic terrorism because the NSBA sent a letter and the White House knew about it. They knew about the letter, and now they were, they're just this hearing, this ongoing hearing is just, it's amazing to me. And then you have Merrick Garland saying that he was unaware of the case on which he based his memo. It's just so ridiculous because he was cited by the National School Board Association on that. Craziness, absolute craziness. So I'm just curious as to how much play that topic is going to get from Merrick Garland on all the, you know, all the talking news stuff, all the cable news and the talking heads. Now, in the meantime, too, a couple of other things here that I want to make sure we get to. As I was telling you a little bit earlier, the New York Times was citing citational justice, which I can't believe it's a real thing. It's a so the chair of geosciences at Williams College says that is basically saying that intellectual debate and the rigor of debate are white male concepts. I mean, that's quite literally the quote. It's, quote, the idea of intellectual debate and rigor as the pinnacle of intellectualism comes from a world in which white men dominated. That's the direct quote from the chair of geosciences at Williams College. Yeah. Dude.
What does that have to do with formulating an argument?
Well, and furthermore, how is that statement by itself not racist? Right. How is it not racist for the chair of geosciences at Williams College to suggest that minorities cannot meet the standards of any kind of rigorous intellectual debate? That's one of the craziest things I think I've ever seen. And that's Phoebe Cohen. She's the geosciences professor. She was one of the people who expressed anger because MIT had invited this doctor to speak, 40 years old, and he was a victim of cancel culture. And it was MIT, they invited this geophysicist, historian Abbott, what a name, to give this public lecture. And he studies climate change and whether plants and solar systems could harbor different atmospheres that would be conducive to life. And there was resistance because he had been opposed to aspects of affirmative action, which seeks to hire on ethnicity rather than merit. And he was speaking out about aspects of this. And they accused him of creating harm because he had opposed aspects of affirmative action. And so they decided to force a cancellation of his lecture. And so they did. They got his they got his lecture canceled. And he said, we're not going to do the best science if we're constrained ideologically. And so this is where you'd have this Phoebe Cohen comes in. And she's like, she says that, yes, you know, the idea of intellectual debate and rigor as the pinnacle of intellectualism comes from a world in which white men dominated. Which to me seems that seems like a racist statement by itself. Because you're saying the accusation is that that minorities can't meet that bar. Right. Is that what I'm to understand? I think she's a white woman, correct? I don't know. The whole thing is amazing to me. What her whatever ethnicity she is aside, and I'm not familiar with her. That's a racist statement regardless. Oh my gosh. That's just crazy to me. And so this was I don't know. It's like a white, who was it that said, Shadi Hamid, who said it's white paternalism couched in the language of racial justice. And it is, it's white progressives, white Marxists that practice this white, you know, white savior, white paternalism. And they try to veil their language in racial justice, but really it's just disguised racism itself. That's why you see all these white Marxists that, you know, it's all the same thing. It's like when California decided that minority students were having difficulty meeting like algebraic standards, etc. They decided to lower the bar. And Bush coined the phrase, the soft bigotry of lowered expectations. Instead of teachers doing a better job or meeting these students where they are and improving because every child has a potential, they decided to lower the bar because they just assumed that, oh, these kids can never meet this standard. That's heartbreaking to me.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
DanaLance.com. That is correct. And I will be on later today.
For a deeper dive in all things Dana at DanaLance.com.
I'll let you guys know. So, DanaLance.com. That is correct. And I will be on later today
or later this evening with
Sean MLK Memorial.
I don't know what time yet, though. So, I'll let
decrying Republicans on voting rights. Remember, they want to.
Federalized elections.
Biden was speaking at
they're scared of the midterms.
Dude, they're terrified
of MLK Memorial.
And they want to federalize elections.
Decrying Republicans
going,
on voting rights.
Needs to remember,
be
they
Here's
want
the
to. When you federalize elections, there go your local elections board. So, for instance, I had someone who was illegally registered
Dude,
to vote at
my home.
And they want to federalize
and
elections.
They
That's why they keep
election.
Going, oh, this voting
and
thing needs to be
passed.
And they
listed
Here's
their address.
When you federalize elections,
is my address.
There go your local elections board.
So
can you
instance,
imagine
I had someone
if
who was
I had to deal
registered
Washington
to vote
DC
at my
as opposed
home.
To going to my
and they
my
voted
elections
election.
Board here
and
that's
they
made up
listed
of
their address
in your
my,
community.
Their address is
there's
my
a reason
address.
Why the founders
so,
were insistent on having
can you imagine if I had
to
deal with Washington
because it's harder
DC
to cheat
as opposed to going to my
and it's harder to alter
here.
Results it's harder
that's
to
made
do
up
all
of people
that.
Who are
Democrats
community
not really
there's a reason why the founders were insistent on having
they want everything
to
be
federalized
because it's
harder to elections would require
and it's harder to
amendment.
Alter results.
And they
want
to bypass
to
that
all
and just
of that.
Rule by
and
fiat.
Democrats,
and then you have Biden
really,
using the
MLK
they don't really
Memorial.
Care about that. So
they are. They want
right,
everything to be federalized. Federalized
by
elections.
Yeah, and by the way,
would
we should just stop giving power to the federal government.
And they want to bypass that
they've
and just
enough.
Yeah,
they've
fiat.
Had enough for like a.
And then you have Biden
plenty.
Using the MLK Memorial.
All right, so it's
president
cut four. It's our president from
right,
last night. You may have, if you've been listening to
the
show.
Yeah,
and by
the
way, we should just stop giving power to the federal government. This is Biden saying he commuted on Amtrak every single day for 36 years as vice president.
All right, so it's cut four. It's our president from last night. You may have, if you've been listening to the show.
Every single day for 36 years.
This is Biden saying he commuted on Amtrak every single day for 36 years as vice president.
I'd ride every day. I commuted every single day for 36 years as vice president of the United States.
It's zero.
36 years?
What? It's zero.
It costs no dollars.
Good Lord, that's
is he? Except that's not right,
well,
though.
It's a tax cut. Which
y'all, it costs no dollars. It's a tax
cut. Zero. It costs zero.
The Build
it's
Back Better. It costs no dollars. No dollars.
It costs no dollars.
It's not true.
Let's
except
go, Brandon.
Not right tomorrow it's Friday. I got hate mail.
Y'all,
hate
it costs no
returns.
Dollars.
And
it's
a, watch me on Fox
it's
tonight.
And don't forget to sign up for
the
newsletter. All kinds of stuff.
It costs no dollars. No dollars.
Not true.
Let's go, Brandon. Tomorrow's Friday. I got hate mail. Hate mail returns. And watch me on Fox tonight. And don't forget to sign up for the newsletter. All kinds of stuff, folks. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.